Welcome everyone to the blessings of Christ on the 23rd day of July. Let's see, is this the first day of Leo or the last day of the sign Cancer? I can't remember that, but we're moving. I know where we're going. We're going into the regalness of the sun, creativity, family, children, and we've got two blessing givers, at least two, who were born, Nancy and Gary. So happy early birthday to you. They are both such family people. We have to sacrifice it every now and then so they can go and be Ma and Pa Kettle. But their family members are almost endless, with new ones on the way. The only difference between Nancy and Ma Kettle is Nancy's gorgeous, and she's amazing. And I guess Ma is just a country woman. But you put country woman in beautiful clothes and a fabulous mind, and you've got Nancy Preborn. So she is somewhere with family all the time. God bless you, Nancy, for taking on such a wonderful devotion to your family in this life. And you are. Huh?
Well, thank you for acknowledging that and always having the patience and the understanding of all of those interruptions and the wonderful things that come with it, but also the times when you wish you could be two places at once and can't. So,
yeah, but we know where you've made your dedication in this life. So we love it, and it's fine, and we're just glad to have you back.
Me too.
So, and you know, you're coming to the blessing seminar, aren't you?
Of course.
Of course. And so is Gary.
Yes.
Okay.
We are
right.
Thrilled. We can't wait. I hope there's going to be many of us there so that we can connect and not just in the heart and the circle every Sunday, but in person, seeing. And you know, it's a wonderful thing when you feel like you know somebody and then you meet them and you really realize you did know them. And everything is affirmed about who they are when you're with each other. So it's a great thing. I encourage people to come.
Oh. There's nothing like it, is there, Nancy? Really?
It's true.
And, you know, here's something I can say, which is probably the most perfect and convincing endorsement of this seminar. I would say at least half of our enrollment are from people who've been here at this seminar before. Okay? Sometimes you go to a seminar and it's like, well, that was great, but been there, done that. With this one, it's like, that was great. I can't wait for my next one. That's how people feel about this. Is that not right, Nancy?
Absolutely. I mean, you're just hungry to be together, but also I think everybody in this community really recognizes the power of the blessing and also what, you know, we need to be doing here on earth right now with our love and our hearts. And you know, it's a powerful way when you concentrate it as a group, and you really want to be back together again. So, if you haven't been, come. If you've been, come. So it'll be a wonderful reunion, and it'll be a wonderful getting to know each other, even at for those we've never been together with. So welcome everyone.
Well, you know, something else about the seminar, Nancy, I would love to discuss with you just to get your thoughts on it. From the very beginning, Yeshua made it very, very clear to me that this is only and ever to be a person-to-person live event. Never will it be recorded. Never will it be digitalized. Never will it be broadcast, ever. If we only have two people, then so be it. That's our seminar. If we have 200 people, so be it. That's how many people want to come and receive the blessing. Now, there's a very, very important reason for that. You know, we're living in an age right now where we think, and I'm emphasizing the word think, that information and the conveyance of information is what learning is really all about. But the fact is, there are so many other receptors for learning to our heart, body, and soul. You can't possibly convey all of that in the form of data, information, voice talk, ideas. Not everything is an idea. The greatest learning we have in life is experience. Number one, above and beyond everything else. This is why you could keep kids at home for 13 years, homeschool them. They never go out into the world, and they're far worse off than the kids that were out there gaining experience. You know, there is no substitution for the conveyance of knowledge through experience. Well, there's one thing better than that, and that is gaining the experience with the loving connection of other people. That's the best. That is the best. And,
it is.
And
it's very soul to soul.
It is. And Yeshua wanted to make it very, very clear that this is not something that you learn about in your mind. You receive through your soul. Because the world will always have disagreements that are generated by the mind. Let's face it. We don't have practically 1,000 different denominations of Christianity if the same message could all be agreed on in the mind. That's the problem. If we all met in person, we'd probably just have one denomination. Honestly, that's it. And I can reinforce that thought with an experience I had. I think I've told you before. When I was first taking the painting out, The Lamb and the Lion, out to the world, and I was afraid at first, because I was really afraid I might be shunned or be the receiver of a Rotten Tomato Award. But it wasn't that way at all. The thing is, when he was there in our presence, there was only one congregation of people that were one soul there to greet him. And I was at an Episcopal church in, I forgot the name of the town. It was just north of Austin. You might remember it, Nancy. But anyway, I looked out around, they had broadcasted, the pastor of the church had broadcasted pretty well and widely. And I looked out around, and in the center of the church were about 20 Hasidic Jews, okay? Over on the other side of the church was a small group of Muslims. I want to make sure you heard that, okay? And then there were a little nest of people through the church that I could tell were actually Baptist, Methodist, or Presbyterian, because they didn't come to the altar for the Eucharist. And they were all there to see Christ. Okay, in his presence, we become one. And that's the deal. And that's the main thing you learn coming to the blessing. Because when we connect with the various troubles that people bring us, wanting to have a blessing, or let's say conflicts, or disappointments they bring to us, and they want answers, they want to be lifted out of it, they want to find a better place in which to be. I'll tell you right now, people, it doesn't matter how much knowledge you have about this or that healing, or if you're a counselor and you have knowledge about how to resolve conflict, it doesn't matter, because the message just doesn't get across. The only thing that does, the only thing that gets across is reunion with God. That's it. Period. And you have to neutralize in the presence of a lot of people. When people come and they are, well, let's just say they're of diverse origins, many diverse situations, age groups, belief groups. There's probably not one of them, unless they're husband and wife, or even that, who're going to completely agree on what even the problem is, much less how to solve it. Okay. Well, the one thing that solves it is God. The one thing that allows you to bring that in is neutrality. And neutrality is something that cannot be conveyed online, over the internet, over a recorded message, because it will always be words and sounds and thoughts and ideas. You cannot get to the point of neutrality without actually being there. And that's why people come again and again, partly to get updates on information, what's the latest. Sure, there's going to be some of that. I would too. You know, it's kind of, this seminar, it reminds me so much of Love Without End. You can read Love Without End 100 times, and there's somebody who did, and he showed me the tabs in the book. And he said, it was never the same. Never, ever. That's because you've got to meet God. And when you go to meet God, it's got to be done in person. It really, really does. And so, that's number two. Now, number three is something I actually want to take some time in this call today to bring up. But I'm going to let it emerge from what somebody brings to our call from our community group, because you always do. You know, the closer we get in this call, the more we're speaking for each other. And I just love it when something I had planned to say is given to me at the right time to say it by somebody else with their reason for speaking. So, Nancy, again, welcome back. It's so good to have you. And
Thank you. Let's see
who else is here to give us some questions or requests.
Okay, let's see. It looks like we have, oops, what happened to Earl? I think he went away. Earl, we'll have to call back. I am so sorry for that. Sarah, it looks like you're on.
Aloha, beloved.
Hello,
Sarah. Oh, I just wanted to just testify that I just feel so much of God's love, and I feel so much gratitude to be alive right here. And I just wanted to send you all blessings from, I'm in Massachusetts, and I'm with this little, my mom's little kitty, who was, my mom only had her for a month, and her name's Sweetie, and she goes for a hike with me, like a 2-hour hike in the forest. And so that's what we're doing right now, is just walking in the forest and listening and just feeling so much love and gratitude for you all.
Oh, that's amazing. Okay. I can feel the fresh air right now.
Ah, in a hiking, that's it, in a hiking cap for 2 miles.
That's amazing.
And then I've never seen anything like it. It's so special. And I just want to ask for a request for a blessing for all of our families and all of our relationships and our communication. May it be clear and creative and productive and peaceful.
Yeah.
Oh.
Thank you.
Hello there, sweetie.
Okay. So, she will say,
I love that
blessing we give to all of our precious animals.
Yes.
And clear communication, loving with our families and relationships. Thank you for that, Sarah. That's so good for all of us, really.
Oh, that's a great
Thank you, Nancy and Glenda, and love to everyone.
Well, you really lift us up because we feel that whenever anyone connects with nature, boy, I feel it through you. I can't be there, but I'm feeling it at some part of me, you know, in our oneness. So thank you for reminding us that, you know, God is there so powerfully.
Yes. Thank you.
Well, I feel bad about Earl. So, Earl, I hope you do call back. I don't know what happened. God bless you, Sarah. We have Iman. You are on.
He might have had a call or something. So, let's move on.
Iman, your line is open.
Thank you for connecting. I missed the beginning of the call, Glenda, but I heard a few of your teachings, and it resonated with me as well at this time I'm going through, the experience I'm going through. I just want to kind of, I don't even know how to begin, but I do have an issue right now with, and I kind of feel a little ashamed to talk about it, but I feel like I need help. I need somebody, you know, with a higher viewpoint to help me and help us navigate through this. So it is about relationships. We live here in this beautiful place, and we have our neighbors upstairs, and they have different hours of sleeping. Like, they're, you know, they sleep at, I don't know what time, but probably 5 in the morning. So when we sleep normal hours, you know, midnight and get up at 8. And anyways, just lately, for the past few months, I haven't had decent sleep because while I'm sleeping, they would be upstairs walking or talking and moving around, and it just disturbs my rest, my peace. And so I might not sound as grounded as I do now, because I have been going through a lot of nervous things because I didn't have enough sleep. I still don't. And I just need this to be resolved in the most beautiful way, and that our neighbors respect our needs, you know, our most important need, which is the need to rest, to sleep. So please guide us and put us in your prayer for this, nonsense, for this disturbance to end.
Definitely. We will. And I think I will give you more understanding when I get to this subject that I had actually hoped and planned to cover today. So,
thank you very much, Glenda.
Yeah. Are you there, Glenda? Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm here. Okay. Do we have any other callers?
Yes, we have Susan. You are on the line. Welcome.
Hi, Glenda. Hi, Nancy. Welcome back. Hi, everybody.
Hello, Susan.
How are you?
Oh, I'm fine.
I woke up last night. I woke up this morning, and I have this little cyst under my arm. I think it may be a little bit of an infection. Not much. I have an antibiotic ointment that I'm putting on, so if I can have a little prayer for that. And I discovered that it's been coming on, but I have night blindness. And I want to continue to draw. So I'm ordering Ocuvite, which is a Bausch Sloan eye vitamin supplement. And then I thought I would try to get glasses that could help me. I can't read the signs, even though I would need glasses because it's not clear. I can see them, you know, the road signs on the road, but I can't read them. So that's my next thing, you know, to do something like that. I recently went for an ophthalmology exam, and my eyes look healthy in all ways. I had, issues and partial corneal replacement, and all that looks good. But this night blindness, and by the grace of God, I see really well during the day, which is a big deal, and that's a blessing to the surgery I had. But I just want to see if anybody can give me some blessings for those two things. I would be forever grateful, and that's about it.
We sure will.
Thanks. I appreciate that very much.
Okay. And you be well. Everything will be well, Susan.
Thank you.
Sometimes we just have to be patient. And miracles don't come at the moment we ask for them. When we ask, in fact, let's don't even ask for miracles. Let's ask for God's perfect will to be done in this situation. Because we know already that it's God's perfect will for you to be able to see day and night. That's God's perfect will. And when we look at it that way, it's not as though we're treating God like our ophthalmologist or our doctor. Okay? We're not assigning to God the results we think we need and want. We're letting God's will work through the broader situation of your life in order to put back together those functions in your eyes that are not, that are a little substandard right now, okay? And that actually does lead pretty perfectly to what I want to talk about, but I see some other delightful people online, and I'm going to let everybody talk, and then I'll wrap up with my message, okay? So, Nancy, let's hear from somebody else.
We have, looks like, Francine, is that your name?
Yeah, Francesca. Thank you.
Oh, Francesca. Hi, Francesca.
Hello. How are you?
Good.
How are you today? Thank you so much for taking my call. It's always such a joy and a pleasure to be here. And I'm still, just want to ask for blessings. For like a harmonious harmony in my workplace, and this, you know, for Yeshua to just help me with whatever I need to do. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Absolutely.
You're welcome, and God bless you. Which I know
thank
you.
Thank you.
Okay.
I can relate to that, Francesca. I can.
Oh, thank you.
I can totally relate, and it's always an effort in some ways. Shouldn't be an effort, but to just sort of remember to really be the love that I am, where some situations you can just see, I don't know, you can have that reactive stuff going on with challenge at work. But it needs. I love the word harmony, and harmony is definitely a good image and a good – good vibration for sure. So, thank you.
Thank you.
Let's see. I think we might have Earl now. I didn't. There you are, Earl. Sorry about that
Hello.
Earlier.
That's okay. Thank you for having me back. Belinda, I met someone. We both called each other from the universe, and we met. And we, together, encountered our deepest pores. And in those cores are things that need to be healed and transformed, extending from abuse and neglect and traumas that we experienced early in our lives and in our adult lives. In encountering these places deep within our souls, in our hearts, our bodies, it became difficult to communicate, as you can imagine. And your words earlier, you and Nancy, about these things, really resonate and ring true. I would ask for a blessing for both of us that we find courage and wisdom, insight to heal and transform the abuse and the neglect and traumas that hold our hearts and our emotional lives and our sexuality hostage, so that we may have abundance and all that we desire and deserve on our beautiful life paths.
Oh,
this is the blessing I ask for.
I'm so glad you came back, Earl. I just can't wait to ask that a blessing for you. What's your lady's name?
I'll call him my dearest one. He's known to Yeshua.
Okay.
Both of us are. And
okay.
The blessing will go to the right person, I'm sure.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. Okay. So we won't get personal on the other side of the equation. We'll just know there's a loved one over there. Okay?
Thank you.
Yes. Okay. Well, you know, everybody did just what I was asking you to do, which is amazing. You gave me a perfect way to bring in a story. Well, it's not a story. It's a lesson. It's a very, very big one. And it's going to culminate with explaining the miracle that I just recently had. Before I start, though, I would like to ask if anyone is not planning to talk, to speak, would you mind muting your phone? Because we're getting echoes coming in, and they will show up on our recording. So it would be a lovely thing to do if you're not planning to speak. Even if you're planning to speak, you can always unmute your phone when you do. And that would make it's already getting better, so somebody's doing something, and it really helps. Okay. Now, here's what I want to talk about. I want to start with a little background, a little bit of human history. Most of the things in our past that we would pray for, healing, would be because either ourselves or someone we love is sick or wounded or perhaps declining toward their deathbed. These were issues of, well, wholeness. These were wholeness issues, restoring the wholeness, God being the physician, God being the savior, the healer, the one who brings us back to life, the one who washes away our hurt, our pain. And I can't say that it would be easy for a human to do that, but as we have come through the ages, our medical services have tried to parallel that to the degree that science could. If a person has, well, for example, pneumonia, the right antibiotics for pneumonia are given, and until then, the right availability. Somebody has come back on. I'm going to actually put us on. There we go. Now we've got quietness in the background. So as medical science developed, it tried to parody what we were hoping and praying God could do. Someone had pneumonia, the right antibiotics were given, or the application of oxygen under a tent until a sufficient level of oxygen was regained. Bones that were fractured, well, they were put in a cast and then in a sling, and doctors were very good about putting together the things that could be healed because of a specific cause that we could identify. Someone was shot with a bullet, the bullet was removed. Stitches were taken, the hemorrhage was cut off, and the person was put into a state of recovery until the healing could be complete. So I would say a lot of our illnesses in the past. Now, in the past, I'm going back as of a century and longer. We have had accumulating more and more in the last century stress-related
illnesses, broken relation type illnesses, failure type illnesses, broken heart type illnesses, broken lies type illnesses, social unrest type illnesses, social conflict type illnesses that have actually set up a whole new, well, triage of medical science that most doctors are not equipped to address, much less heal. And I would kind of like to call this the Humpty Dumpty syndrome. In case you're not familiar with the childhood nursery rhyme, it started this way. Well, Humpty Dumpty is an egg. Okay. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty together again. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty together again. What we're looking at in so many ways today are the illnesses that come from too many broken pieces. The pieces are scattered. And I want you to really look at that egg that's broken now. First of all, you can't put the yolk and the white back in. And the pieces are broken, maybe in 20 pieces. Some large pieces, some little tiny shreds. And the membrane is broken. What do you do? How do you put back together? Humpty Dumpty. And Humpty Dumpty has laid there, maybe for a while. And maybe when he first fell, it was only a crack. But he laid there and a bird pecked on it, and it became many cracks. And then another bird pecked on it, and it fell apart. And then, wow, a cat came along and ate the yolk and the white. And poor Humpty was there. No place to go except to fall into the earth. How in the world would Humpty Dumpty be put back together again? There's only one that knows how to do that. Only one. The one that created Humpty in the first place. The one that had the original blueprint for Humpty's life. You can't, we come to the point where the exterior is too broken to reassemble it. You could go get your super glue. You could put a piece, few pieces together, and then you find your skin is going to be stuck to one of the pieces. And when you pull your skin off, you're going to tear the piece up again. You just can't put Humpty together again. Now, is it possible? Is it possible to put Humpty back together again from the inside out? Well, that's what Yeshua showed us in the raising of Lazarus. Now, I want to remind you, you can go read for yourself in the New Testament. When they rolled away the tomb, Lazarus was stinking. He had not just been dead for 3 days. He was rotting. Necrosis had completely set in. That is the death deterioration of cellular tissue. What doctor's going to go in there and put, even today, with our DNA analysis and measurement, our DNA structure to take it and recreate a clone. But a clone's not Humpty. A clone's a different entity. Who's going to put him back together? The one who knows who he is. That one is what's going to put him back together. That's the miracle of God, your Creator. Your Creator knows exactly what it takes. And all it takes is the original seed. It doesn't take fixing all the outer parts first. Just put that seed back in. Put that seed back in, and everything will be put back in place. Well, I'm going to tell you my story of how I got put back in place. And it was a pretty grim picture when I moved here. I had been through the kind of life trauma that typically breaks people. You know, you may have heard the term, oh, this is going to break me, or this just broke her. Well, that's a Humpty Dumpty experience. When somebody falls off the wall, they're broken. And usually, it's a downhill slide into the coffin. And it usually doesn't take very long. It's a very high percentage of people who pass away within a year of losing their mate, especially if they've been together for more than 30 years. High percentage. You know, it's a high percentage of people who wither and die if they've lost a child, because it's just not supposed to be that way. That was a breaking experience. That's what causes it, when it's a breaking experience. I knew about the breaking experience. And shortly after Larry passed, I fell. And it was a bad fall that put me in the hospital, and I was on crutches for 6 weeks. But I knew better than to try to fix that. I wasn't going to fix that. I went back to putting my life back in order the way I knew life before I lost Larry, the way I knew life before I ever fell. I went back to putting my life together. I didn't want to fix the problem, because that problem was not going to fix what was really wrong. I was at least smart enough to know it wasn't going to fix what was really wrong. And I got into my year, and my next year was as traumatic as losing Larry. I won't get into all the details of it, but I was about to lose everything in my life, everything, with no help and no place to go. Well, I turned it over to other people to try to fix that, and I kept my thoughts on who I am and why I'm here in this earth. I communicated with Yeshua. And if you remember, I don't think I ever missed more than maybe 2 blessing calls. And I had somebody stand in for me all the way. We never dropped the work, ever. Never. I kept my messages coming to you. I kept being who I'm here to be. But it wasn't over. The breaking experience was not over. It was going to and you can better believe I was praying for a miracle. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I was praying for this to be. Because I wanted to get back to work. But there was no fixing the outer things that were broken, because I was already 80% toward being Humpty. I wasn't there yet, because I could still do my work. I still knew who I was. But on January of 22, I came down with a pain in my back that was classified as level 10. Level 10 is when it doesn't get any worse. So, there I was, unable to move, unable to walk. My friends turn their car into a traveling daybed to get me to a doctor. And the doctor said, well, we got to look at this very carefully because we don't, now here's where Yeshua's stepping in. I want you to notice this. Pay very close attention to every single thing that's going to happen now. They took me to a spinal surgeon. And he said, I'm not going to do anything invasive because I want to find out, first of all, about your life, what's been going on, and if there's something else we need to address. Because he said, I'm going to tell you, girl, invasive procedures to the spine are usually irreversible. And you're going to live with them the rest of your life. So let's be very careful about messing with your back. So I'm going to refer you to a pain management doctor, and he's going to help you with the pain. Well, the pain management doctor got me to where I could actually travel once the home was sold, and it was sold like break-even point. Okay, I didn't lose the home. I didn't damage my credit forever. I mean, little by little, God was putting the pieces back together, and the pain management got me moved into a hotel. I had no idea where I was going to live, but I got help locating places that would work for me. And you know what? My number one requirement was I've got to do my business there. I'm not alive except that I serve God. It's got to be. I don't care if I live in a shed outside, but that house has to serve my business. It's got to serve God. Of course, everybody else had a different viewpoint, but my priorities were in place because I knew who I was. I knew my life's work. And then someone took me to look at this place, and I said, oh my gosh, that's perfect. But how in the world can I afford it? And my credit is gone. My credit is shot. Well, I put the word out, and someone who's been a long-term donor to the church said, just offer them 1 year's rent up front. I'll pay it. And I said, really? Oh, my gosh. They accepted it. So I moved in. And, of course, I had tons and tons of help. And I was still on crutches. I was still on crutches at that time, but I was better. Because one of the things I did learn was patience, believing in God, and taking my whole life into consideration. Not treating it as a piecemeal thing, like a patchwork quilt that had to be sewed together piece by piece. Okay? I wasn't going to go there because I had been taught not to go there. And then I looked and looked to find the best. I mean, by ratings, customer reviews, education, experience, the best spinal surgeon in this area. And I didn't know if I could afford him, but somebody else said, we want you to get the best. If you don't have enough, we'll pay for it. So I went to see him. Now, this is the best. And let me tell you what he said. He looked at me, and he looked at all the tests that had been brought to me. And he says, well, you know, I don't think you're past healing on your own. And I'm not going to do surgery on you until we've given you a chance to do that healing. I want to put you in physical therapy. I said, oh, no. You know, with this pain, and you're going to put me in physical therapy. He said, they'll teach you how to deal with the pain. They'll teach you how to rise above the pain. And, you know, if you stop resisting that pain, everything may just go back into place. I believe in you. You know, that's what the doctor said to me. I believe in you. And this is not a religious man. In fact, well, he possibly is a religious man, but not Christian. He was Hindu. he said, and God believes in you. So let's just do it. Let's make it work. And I said, okay, all right. So So I went in for 2 months of physical therapy, and I was getting, you know, I was really doing my best. And I got physically stronger to where I could learn to manage the pain, but it wasn't going away. So I came back to him, and he says, well, okay, we may have to do something, but I'll tell you what, there's one more test I want to do, because there's absolutely no reason you should not have gotten better unless it's your disc instead of the vertebra. So we're going to have to test your disc. We're going to have to take a good look at it. And he said, the test is very painful. Are you up for it? And I said, yeah, what else? Okay, so we do it. And after we do it, and I come home, well, I have a visit from Yeshua. And I'm not talking just words. I'm not talking just spirit. He was there with all the physical presence when he came to have his painting. And he just looked at me and said, Glenda, you're going to be fine. You're going to be fine. I want you to get ready to do this seminar, because I want you to do this seminar, and I want this seminar to be happening. We need this seminar. And I said, yes, sir. Okay. Well, I'll do my part. And he says, well, I'll do my part. Okay. The next morning, I woke up. There was no pain. And at first, I thought, well, maybe I just had a good night's rest. And so I walked. There was no pain. And he said, sitting up and down, there was no pain. I thought, well, okay, I'm getting better. Well, that night, I was listening to some music. It's got a little bit of jive rhythm to it. And so I sat down and did some jive rhythm with my hands, because I never stopped jiving with my hands. And I thought, I wonder how much I could do if I stood up. And I stood up, and I could do everything. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my goodness. And so I decided to twist and kick and jump and turn. I was like, holy cow. It's all gone. The problem's gone. I'm well. And I said, thank you, God. I was well. I was well. Okay. What happened was my conviction through all the months of pain to be nothing less than who I am. And then God deciding, I'm not through with you. We've got work for you to do. And he put me back together from the inside out. From the inside out. And he let me really experience that it was my faith working with God that put Humpty Dumpty back together again. From the inside out. And I want to use this as an example of the many ways faith can look. Sometimes faith just looks like patience. Sometimes it looks like believing in yourself. Sometimes it looks like believing in God. Sometimes it looks like, I will find a way to manage this, because my life is more important than this pain. And I'm not allowing this pain to take me away from my life. You see, faith has many ways of showing itself. And one of the great ways is devotion and duty and purpose. All the ways that we put faith together is the way we put Humpty back together from the inside out. Because first of all, we've got to recreate the membrane before there's anything for the pieces of the shell to attach to, and before there's anything that the yolk and the white could actually be contained within. And, you know, and it's funny. It's really funny, because I thought back to when Yeshua would heal, like the lame. They would get up and walk. He would say, now walk, run, because they had hesitancy. You know what? Because they had formed a pattern, not a pattern of disbelief, but a pattern of what was tolerable to their body. And so they would he said, good, now run. And then they would say, okay, I'll run. Well, same thing happened to me, a couple of nights ago. All during this, illness, I would make my way into my shower to have my daily bath. And I would get into my shower with crutches and then, a stool that I had kept from the days I had, a hip replacement. So all of my therapeutic tools were brought out of storage so I could get in the shower and take my daily bath. Okay. Well, that was fine as far as hygiene went, but I missed that I couldn't, there's no way I could sit in a tub. Even if I managed to get down, I couldn't get up. There was no way I would be able to get up. I would slip and fall, and then I'd be worse off than ever. So for about, I would say for about 6 months, I had not had a bath. And about 2 days ago, I was talking to Tiffany, and I said, you know, Tiffany, I think I should take a bath. And she said, I thought you did bathe every day. I said, no, I take showers. She said, oh, you should take a bath. And I went to my bathtub. And the crazy thing is I got my stool out and put in the bathtub. And I went and got my crutches in case I needed them. And then I started laughing. Interesting. You know, the imprints are so strongly there now that I can move perfectly, that I could do a cowboy jive dance. I can't even walk to a bathtub without acting like I can't do it. So I got rid of all the props, ran the bathtub full of water, put a bath bomb in and some rosemary essential oil, and just had the time of my life. It was like, thank you, God. So now the point of this story is that a lot of our healing and the miracles we receive have to do with reconditioning ourselves to receive a miracle, to be ready for a miracle, to put together all of the different qualities and aspects of faith, which may mean anything from service to duty to believing to prayer to worship, to surrender. When I was in pain management, I just surrendered. I thought, well, you know, if I just don't resist it, I'll figure out how to live with it. You know, there are so many ways we have to work with, but our biggest enemy is our mind and the patterns it puts us in to defend us from doing what we can now do again perfectly. So there is an opportunity within you to learn this. This is another really great reason that when we receive the Holy Spirit for conveying it for the benefit of others, we need to be in the presence of other people that will assist us in neutralizing from all the imprints in our brain, neutralizing from all the limitations in our body, neutralizing from all the disbeliefs in our heart, and having the courage to open up and allow God to just breathe inside us the breath of life. So, a lot of us think, and we often really think, that we can just put Humpty Dumpty back together again. Even if it's just a crack, we go for the super glue. But we don't realize that even just a crack that was healed with super glue is still going to rot the egg inside. You've got to work from the inside out to get the healing you want. And this is even true with antibiotics. It's been more times proven than not. You take an antibiotic, it cures you then, but it makes your body then dependent upon antibiotics in the future. It strips away some of your natural immune system that could have possibly protected you better in a natural way. Always, the healing is from the inside out. Always. Because that's where the perfect germ of your life is. That's it. That's where perfection is. And that's why Yeshua really recommended every day we find at least a few minutes to look at something, anything, with innocence. Admire it with innocence. It doesn't have to be in nature. It could be just the innocent response of a friend who just instinctively knew what to do or say to make you happy. Be sure to acknowledge that. Somebody who really actually listened. You know, really listened. I had an experience with that a couple of weeks ago because I was diagnosed with this whole plethora of doctors that then had to put me under a magnifying glass that I had some post-traumatic stress elements that I was recovering from. Not that I was immersed in, but anybody who'd been through what I had been through. And so I was prescribed to see a psychiatrist. And I was pleasantly walking into the room to see a man, a very charming man who was black with a very heavy accent. He gave me his name. He said, I am in Dubai. And a guy. And I said, oh, you're from Africa. Yes. Well, I'm from Houston. And my innocent response is, well, you didn't get that accent in Houston. he said, I got my accent from my parents. Is that innocent? What? I mean, we really were having this totally childish. And I said, well, where did your parents get their accent? He was, I had to pull it out. He said, Nigeria. And I said, oh, I love Nigeria. And he said, really? I don't know many people in this country that would say they love Nigeria. And I said, well, we actually have a church in Nigeria. And they are some of the most delightful people that walk on this earth. And he said, yeah, but Nigeria's gotten kind of a bad reputation lately. And I said, it's not from Nigerians. It's from outsiders that are using Nigerians who need to make money. And he said, oh, thank you for understanding that. So before it was all over, I was the one doing the therapy. And we had a great conversation, and he was asking me about drugs. I said, I don't need any drugs. I don't want any drugs, really. Talking to you is all I needed. And I said, you know, you are such a lovely person to talk to. And he said, well, you know, that's my business. And I said, but you do it so well, and not everybody in your business listens so well. And he was just, and then he just said, well, what else would you like me, what else would you like me to say? And, you know, we just had a delightful conversation from that point on. And he said, well, I don't think you really need anything. And I told him about the healing, because I had had the healing by the time I went to see him. And he said, thank you, God. He said, well, you know who's working on your behalf. And I said, yes, sir, I do. And so he set up an appointment 3 months later. And as I was checking out, he came by the checkout desk, and he just said, "I'm looking forward to seeing you 3 months from now, and or sooner if you need me. Here's my card. Just call me if you need me." And my response was, "I'll look for excuses." How many people say that to a psychiatrist? You see, that was my innocent response to him. That was a conversation that was just full-blown innocent responses all the way through, and it actually built a deep inner connection, a very deep inner connection. And, you know, I really look forward to seeing him again. Not that I need him, but, you know, you can't have too many people on your side. That's my look at the subject. And I'm discovering more and more great doctors, like Dr. Patel, who was my surgeon. You know, I went in to see him after I had my healing, and he said, "Well, praise the Lord." Okay, you don't usually hear that from a Hindu, but anyway, praise the Lord. He says, "Well, you don't need me anymore." And I said, "Yes, but I'm going to need you." And he said, "Well, come and see me if you need me. But let's just hold the thought you don't. And I don't see any reason why you do." So how is that? How is that for innocent communication, just engaging with people? I want to tell you somebody something. You can make almost anybody like you, almost anybody like you, by just using innocent communication. My first appointment with my general practitioner did not go very well because she was a kind of an eager beaver to get me under the care of like 12 different specialists. And I pushed back and I said, the last thing I need is to be going to all these doctors. And she got a little tense about it. And she said, "Well, we've got to examine all your stress." I said, "Look, I just need to rest, come back to myself." And she prescribed something I totally rejected. So she was bent out of shape when I went back to see her, and defensive. And I said, "You know, it's okay. I'm glad to be back with you. I really appreciate you." But she was still on the defensive. And just before seeing her, she had sent her assistant in to take all the details of different prescriptions I had, different hormone prescriptions. And he had written them down, and she looked over that. And she says, well, I see here that you're on birth control. It made me laugh. I said, "Well, that would be a miracle." "Do you really think I would need that?" And I got her to smile. And she said, "Well, that's what he wrote down." And I just said to her, "Well, I'll take that as a compliment." Well, she just started laughing. I mean, she just belly laughing. She says, "Okay, we'll let you have that as a compliment, but I'm taking it off your list here." I said, "Well, please do." But anyway, so the stress was all gone. All I had to say was, "I'll take that as a compliment." And it was all gone. Try this. It's a really great remedy. And I don't mean you have to come up with funny things. You just have to come up with things that spark an innocent response. Like I said to Dr. Odagai, "I know you didn't get that accent in Houston." "Well, I got it from my parents." "Okay. Well, I know they didn't get it in Houston either." So, you know, you can just be a child. Talk like a child. Be there. It actually changes everything. It really does. You know? And it's just my all-time, every day, everywhere recommendation for softening life. You can always find something to respond to innocently. Even something as simple as, "I don't understand. You know, I think what you said is a little bit above my head." That actually puts the other person in a control position. And most of the time, when people talk a little too fast, a little too technical, a little too, like, over your head with technical terms. They're just wanting to be in control. They want to make sure you recognize them as the guy that knows everything. And are you going to face, you know, that's pretty dense for me. I don't think I understand. Then they know that it's safe to come down a notch or two and let you have it in an easier way that opens up everything. You know, don't walk in being the big shot. That puts everybody on edge of heads. I have never seen, in all the time I have known Yeshua, I've never seen him walk in to a seminar, and he doesn't always show up physically, but energetically he's always there. And I've never seen him walk in as the big shot. He walks in as the guy that sits on the back row saying, how are you to everybody? He's the guy who's with me for me to paint his portrait, goes and pets the cat. He's the guy that when I'm stressed, he makes me laugh. He's the guy when he was here, he sat with the lepers. He's the guy when he was here, he didn't bother with the big shot. He didn't bother with the high priest. That's why they were mad at him, because he didn't cuddle up to them. Well, you know what would have happened if he had? If he had tried to make it with the high priest, they would have gone on the super defensive, trying to be even above him. And no matter where he demonstrated his wisdom and knowledge, they would try to defend their ego by being even higher than him. They would keep climbing higher and higher and higher to be higher than him, and there would be no end to it. So, like, why bother? Why bother? You know, come down off your ladder, and we'll talk about it. Come sit with me on the park bench, and I'll be glad to talk with you. You might learn a few things you didn't know, okay? He went to people who would listen. That's right. He went to people who would listen, people who congregated on the hillside to hear him speak. And they didn't care if they didn't have anything to eat or drink, because he multiplied everything for them. He never, ever talked down to people, even to the lowest of the low. He made them feel important. When he hung on the cross beside the thief, he didn't say, what sins do you have that I may forgive you? Uh-uh. He just said, you shall be with me today in paradise. He raised him up. It's a good way to know when you're in his presence. He raises you up. And let me tell you guys, the single thing we all need right now is lifting up. And the ones who already think they're up, if they were in his presence, they would just get very, very defensive and work very hard to put other people down in order to make them look, by illusion, to be even more up than they were. Never happens around Yeshua. Never. Never. He will make you feel up. Okay. Well, I have gone way, way, way long, and I know we have really pushed the clock today, but I just wanted to say this because I just want to give you, all of you, a little more taste of the kind of things you will be experiencing at the Blessing Seminar. It is so worth it. And it's something you can't just get from me. And what you got from me today didn't come from me. It came from him because he came to be with you. And what you will get in the blessing is not coming from me. It's coming from him. And he can and will and does come to you spiritually. But when we're actually talking about things that need to be doing in the world, he needs to be with you in a more palpable way. And he does that through being with you, through other people, through other people. That's how he comes to you, to be with you in a more palpable way, as he does it through other people. Just like he said, when two or more are gathered in my name, I will be there. And he doesn't just mean Holy Spirit. He doesn't just mean an inspirational presence. He means I will be there. And we've never had a blessing conference that somebody didn't say, oh my gosh, he's right over there. He's there. I felt him. He's walking around the room. You know, people, he's there. And he works through other people. That's why this can never, ever be digitally copied. We digitally copy all of our webinars because that's about information. And then when you listen to the information, he will come to you in spirit and enhance the information or lift you up to a higher inspirational level. But here, when we're talking about creating apostles, that's what's happening in the blessing seminar. Yeshua is creating apostles. And that's why people come back again and again, because they know they have been chosen as an apostle. They have been chosen. We come to him, and he comes to us. And it's really that beautiful and that simple. Okay, everybody, we are now going into our blessing for the day. And we missed a few people talking, but please come back next week with your request and know that if it's something you were requesting for a healing, Yeshua heard you. He was listening. He heard you. And we are with you. Let's just get ready now to be in a different state of being. Relax in your chair, your hammock, your recliner, your bed, wherever you are, in the grass maybe. If you're walking in the woods, find a soft, cushy fern to sit on, something like that. Anyway, wherever you are, shake out everything so that your body is not putting out right now. It's not pushing out. It's relaxing and ready to open up and receive. One of the best ways I know is the four square breath. And the four square breath is you're going to breathe out and then give. Let it be absorbed and taken by those who receive it. And then you breathe in. And then you hold it so that your body can assimilate it. Now, on each of the squares, you count to four. But I'm not going to count for you. It will be your count. Because some people just want it slower than others. Some people have trouble holding their breath long enough to make it as deep as you can. But it's okay. Just what's normal for you is what's best here. Because forcing anything right now is not in keeping with surrender and receive. So just be in your breath. I will offer my prayer to Yeshua. And then while the blessing givers and I are conducting the blessing, you will say your prayer to Yeshua. Now, why do you need to say your prayer? Well, he's offering the blessing anyway, but the whole universe is energy. It's energetically created and delivered and distributed. And your prayer is like turning on the TV until you actually are on Wi-Fi. You won't get the right signal. So you might pick up somebody else's blessing and miss your own. That's why you need to pray for all of those you care about, for all the things you care about, and your personal needs and desires. So let us begin. Dear Yeshua, Lord of life, inheritor of the kingdom, the one who has built through your life a bridge between heaven and earth that we have been invited to walk over, that we have been invited to now take our first step and then our next step in faith until we are there. We thank you for being with each person who has congregated to receive love, guidance, and blessing from you, that they shall be forever nourished from the things they need now and knowledge, full knowledge and certainty, that the gift will be perpetual to all things that shall come in the future. We thank you for your life, having lived among us physically and having remained among us in all the ways that allow you to embrace and touch our human reality. We thank you for reuniting us with God, our Father, our Creator, that whatever separation occurred in the past no longer exists, that we may call upon our Creator to activate the seed within us and cause our rebirth. We thank you for sending the Holy Spirit to be our everlasting guide and companion, that in that companionship, we may discover the full measure of our potential. We ask that you accept our prayer as a prayer for everyone, for those who know not to pray, for those who are hungry and know not where to find food, for those who are sick and have no physician. May they find their nourishment in you. May they find their position in you. May they find their hope in you. And in that hope and faith and charity, may they bring about all the elements that are necessary to provide and nourish the life for their loved ones and themselves. In your name, always we pray. Amen. Blessing givers, let us begin.
Amen. Amen and amen. Now, the blessing has been given. Now go and rest and continue your receiving. Bye-bye for now. And I look forward to being with you again next week. Deep breath.